Sportsnet.ca. Mark Medina from the Bay Area News Group joins us as we set up Game 4 tonight, the Raptors and the Warriors. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1260 at the conclusion of our show. And Mark, it's, you know, it's rare for the Warriors to be down in a series over the last 5 years, but they do get a huge boost in Klay Thompson coming back in. But, you know, he's one guy. You know, when I look at it, one guy specifically who's got to play way better is DeMarcus Cousins. I understand he's been out for a while, but he, you know, he wasn't even as good as Looney was in that game. He's got to make some of those easy buckets that he missed, doesn't he?
Without a doubt. And, you know, usually going into this series against Toronto, the Warriors kind of had this mindset that they're going to put DeMarcus in positions that he's not going to fail in, because he's, you know, coming off a pretty serious injury where he hadn't played since game two of the NBA playoffs. But now without Kevon Looney, it's more by necessity than anything else. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Kevon Looney is a good stark in contrast with DeMarcus Cousins, where no one's mistaking DeMarcus's all-star credentials. But Kevon, you always knew what you were going to get. It might not jump off the stat sheet, but he was always due for a good solid 20 minutes, gain a few points, gain a few putbacks, making some hustle plays, getting some boards, and that's what a day's worth was. And then with DeMarcus, you would see during the season him making kind of a step forward with his dominance, his conditioning, overall integration with the team. And then another game he would take a few steps back where he looks rusty, he looks uncomfortable with the Warriors system. And that seemed to be the theme so far when you compare and contrast game two to game three.
The Raptors, in because of Pushgate, a lot got lost in the Raptors. Five starters all having 17-plus points. Like, I'm not sure you could play a better game if you're the Toronto Raptors from that perspective. You know, Kawhi Leonard does Kawhi Leonard things, has 30 points. Kyle Lowry's involved. Danny Green hits six from beyond the arc. Gasol, very good. Even Serge Ibaka off the bench with six huge blocks. Like, probably lost in all of this was just how good the Raptors played in Game 3.
Yeah, I think particularly the Raptors' perimeter shooting was very instrumental. And let's be frank. I mean, the Warriors have been undermanned with some of their injuries, even some of the guys who are on the floor. Andre Iguodala, most notably, he's banged up. So they don't have a lot of wing depth and a lot of consistent perimeter defense. Draymond Green admittedly has had a tough time in trying to set the tone defensively, knowing just the fact that they don't have as much health as they'd like to. But I think what Toronto overall has really been able to exploit since the series started is the Warriors came in with the game plan that they were going to double up on Kawhi Leonard, do everything on him to make things difficult, and, you know, live with the fact that he's still going to get points while daring everyone else to contribute. Well, the Raptors have taken on that dare and have succeeded. And you can really just go down the line, whether it's Pascal Siakam or Marcus Gasol, Danny Green hitting threes, Kyle Lowry having an imprint on the game, even if he's not always an offensive force. But I think if the Warriors start getting healthy and getting Kevin Durant back, ultimately their depth and talent's going to take over. But, you know, this is one hell of a series, and who knows what's going to happen next.
Well, the one guy who really seems to be a mismatch at times is Pascal Siakam. For the Warriors, they don't really seem to have an answer for him at times because of his length. It's a mismatch. If you're the Warriors, and I know that obviously they have to, they've kind of got to respect the outside shot more, but then they'll dump it inside to Siakam. How would you defend Siakam? Who would you put on him?
It's a really tough question, because I think after game one, Draymond was trying to take on that responsibility. He did well in game two, but the problem is, you're really leaving the risk of Kawhi just going off here. And I think that where the Warriors need to do is it's find something in the middle where the Warriors have followed a lot of what's been kind of a trend in the NBA in recent years with just how the game is played in analytics, that, you know, maybe your best defense is no defense. Like, you leave bad shooters open and dare them to make them. And if they do, God bless them, because what are the odds of them repeating? But Pascal Siakam is a legitimate player. So I think to answer that question, give him a little bit of dose of Draymond, but not too much, because he's good to help out with the Kawhi matchup. But the Warriors also need to be honest with just being really in tune and organized with that five guys on a string. Easier said than done because of the injury situation. DeMarcus is a liability on defense. But if some of their backcourt guys like Steph Curry, Alphonso McKinney, Quinn Cook, the front court, Jordan Bell, Jonas Jerebko, if they at least try and are communicating, maybe that sheds off a few possessions here or there where ultimately it makes the difference in a game.
Mark Medina joins us. Mark, there's all sorts of different opinions on this one. Do you think Kevin Durant's going to play at all in this series?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, time's ticking, right? Because when you do the math, Game 5 is Monday. If there's a Game 6, it's Thursday. And there's a Game 7, it's, I believe, on June 16th. Right now, when I've been talking to the Warriors, they're still adamant and confident that they think Kevin will return. He's out for Game 4, so does that mean he can get in Game 5? It's plausible, but there's really kind of a tight rope here because they want him and feel like they need him to get in a full practice before he ever returns. And when you're looking at the calendar here, if he wants to return for Game 5, he's going to have to practice on Sunday because Game 4 is tonight. On tomorrow, you know, both teams are going to be traveling to Toronto. So I think if nothing else, it's kind of up in the air with Kevin coming back for Game 5, but I think the worst-case scenario is he'll be back for a Game 6, if there is one, because they have some extra time. But that's the challenging part. You know, the Warriors are vulnerable right now, and the Raptors are a legitimate team. So the longer that he's out, the, you know, the possibility that this might be even a shorter series than imagined.
Well, I think tonight is a must-win game for the Warriors.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
If they go down 3-1, I think it's series over.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, the Warriors have overcome 3-1 series deficits, but it's like you have no margin for error. And when you have such tenuous question marks regarding the team's health, whether, you know, how rusty is Kevin going to be, how's Clay's hamstring going to hold up, is Andre Iguodala one other ailment away from just being completely out for the rest of the finals? I mean, that's a lot of question marks that had to be checked. Same thing with DeMarcus Cousins. So I completely agree with you that tonight's game is a must-win for the Warriors.
Klay Thompson, it sounds like the rest was just an extra 48 hours, maybe could make a huge difference for him to not re-aggravate it. I'm guessing. It sounds, you know, unless he was really misleading anyone, he clearly felt like he could have played, but the chance of possibly re-aggravating it was much higher on Wednesday than it is tonight. That's why he's back in.
Exactly. I mean, Klay was lobbying the Warriors coaching staff and training staff and saying he feels fine and can go. The Warriors training staff felt otherwise. Steve Kerr was also thinking long view of, hey, what if he plays in Game 3? He's not completely himself because of the hamstring and then he gets hurt again. Then you're doing the equivalent of him potentially missing, you know, four more finals games and maybe being limited in Game 3. So it was all about just taking a long view. That being said, I mean, I think there's this narrative being peddled, at least in the Bay Area, that the Warriors kind of threw up Game 3 as kind of a lose the battle to win the war, and I don't think that was the case at all. I mean, they definitely had the long view with sitting Klay, but as far as how the Warriors played, I mean, Steph Curry had one of his best finals performances of his career, and statistically it was his best finals performance. And for all the struggles that the Warriors showed elsewhere, they gave it a good, honest effort. But as far as Klay goes, yeah, it was more of let's be safe, let's be cautious. And when I and others were talking to him yesterday, it sounds like he feels like he's pain-free and there's no limitations, and it's his expectation and his words that he's going to do what he does normally, which is get buckets and get stops.
Mark, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Enjoy Game 4 tonight. I'm very much looking forward to a crucial game. The Warriors, of course, a champion, rarely goes down easy. But this Raptors team is probably better than people have given them credit for, and they might smell a little blood. So tonight might be the best game of the series. I look forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.